Let's hear from Coach Goodale in today's episode of the Inside Rutgers Athletics Podcast. The podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official health care provider of Rutgers Athletics.
All right, Rutgers Nation, Brad Darahilo, Sports Information Director at Rutgers University, for another episode of the Scott Goodale Podcast, joined by none other than Scott Goodale. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Brad. Good to be with you tonight.
How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was really, really good. Got the family back together. Not that I don't see Shelby and Zach, but it was good to have them home with their mother, and got to see their grandma, my mom. So that's where we spend our Thanksgiving, watch a bunch of football, and really woke up the next morning and all three of us headed back to Rutgers. So good Thanksgiving.
Yeah. What's usually on the table for a typical Goodale Thanksgiving?
It's good old fashioned turkey stuffing, green bean casserole, potatoes, mashed potatoes, stuffed with everything. You name it. It's a very, very traditional Thanksgiving. So something that my mother is really, really into, and we've been doing it ever since I've born, and we'll continue to go to her house as long as we're able to.
That's awesome. So obviously you guys took care of business this past weekend, and we'll obviously dive into that a little bit later, but I'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the performance of the women's soccer team here at Rutgers and what a job they've done. How cool is that?
It was awesome, man. I follow that. I told Coach O'Neill the other night I'd be coming incredible. I mean, that guy's so humble and so kind. He reached out to me on the bus ride home after the North Carolina, and I'm like, man, this is about women's soccer right now. I've become a huge fan. I'm always a fan of his program, but I just like watching those girls train and prepare and then compete. Is just there's a lot of similarities there. They remind me a lot of our guys, and just the passion and have the fight. And I'm not surprised one bit. He runs an incredible program. He's got this whole state on lockdown with his PDA program. He's an incredible coach, has an incredible staff. Meg's a big wrestling fan, so I've talked to her on occasion, but just a great staff, and they deserve this. And hopefully we can, hopefully we finish it out, you know, play FSU, I think, Friday night. So we'll be locked in on that after our duel. On the way back, we'll be watching that. So we're excited for it.
Yeah. Obviously you guys communicate, but do you guys pick each other's brains? It seems like your teams are kind of modeled the same way. Very Jersey centric.
Whenever something big comes up, and, you know, I always reach out to him. We've in years past have shared team philosophies and team goals and team rules and regulations, what we're doing, what they're doing. So it's the one guy in the department. Obviously I speak with Greg a lot and Pikes a lot, but I always talk with Coach O'Neill, and more are all the coaches are really getting together, but Mike and I have talked for a long time, and he's actually a Jackson guy. His daughter plays at Jackson Memorial High School for my sister, which is kind of weird, you know, so small world, but it's just a small world. He's doing his thing. I'm doing mine. But whenever something big comes up, he's on the short list of coaches that I call for sure.
Yeah, fans. Goody's no bandwagon fan when it comes to women's soccer at Rutgers.
No.
There's a tweet after almost every game. It's a cool thing to see.
Yeah, I'm a fan for sure.
All right, so let's dive right into it. Obviously, 2-0 with wins over Hofstra, number 14 UNC. Just your overall thoughts on the night.
Overall, I like the atmosphere. I like the venue. I want Prudential to be a big part of what we're trying to do. We're going to try to make that actually going forward, probably a Big Ten EIWA challenge, because those coaches want in on wrestling in that event. So I thought our guys wrestled well. I thought the preparation was great over the break. You know, that's the first time in a long time we've competed after Thanksgiving. And I was never once worried about it. For years past, I've always stayed away from that weekend because of weight, because of, you know, guys going home with their families and you know, not having the right direction or the right discipline with their weight and their practice. But I was never once worried about that at all. So first and foremost, the preparation was unbelievable. I think we got a team right now that just, and I don't know what this means. I just think they're true professionals in every sense of the word. And, you know, their diets, their nutrition, their preparation, their on their own workouts, their individual workouts with coaches, their film study. So I expected us to wrestle well, and we did. We wrestled well, and wasn't happy with the North Carolina duel just for the fact we didn't get some of the matchups we were really, really anticipating and looking forward to. But hey, at the end of the day, you wrestle who they put in front of you, and our guys took that approach. They, you know, there's guys that were dying to have some of those individual matchups, and they didn't get those, but they went about their business, and that's just being a true pro. So I was excited about that. I was excited about, you know, two wins, our state, our backyard. We took care of business, and hopefully we salvaged a little bit of a what was a tough day on Saturday for Rutgers Athletics. You know, that was important to us, and we carry that a little bit, you know, and we were excited that we wrestled well and got two wins.
For sure, the two wins put you guys at 8-0. It's the best start to a dual season since the first season of the Big Ten, 2014-15. Some of the things I noticed, and you said this, you know, during your preseason press conference, you know, this may be the most talented top-to-bottom program you have. And, you know, the veteran guys on this team, Van Brill, Rivera, and, you know, I guess we can call Paz a veteran. Yeah. With all the matches that he's wrestled, but those guys are going out and they're not just winning, but they're taking care of business, scoring and scoring often. So what's it like to see those guys that are well regarded nationally and they're just taking care of business?
Yeah, that's important. You know, it's your stars, right? You're led by your stars, and they have to show up every day and set an example, and they've done that, you know. And I think what's happening now is you start getting some competition, right? Dual meet scoring, it's not good enough anymore to win by decision. We need majors and techs and pins, and Van Burrell goes out and gets a tech, so he gets himself in the race for. On our team, we have a dual meet scoring champion, so he puts himself in a good spot, and then there's two falls following that. So these guys are trying to outdo each other, which makes for great competition, and if you're going to tech somebody, well, I better pin them to stay in it. So scoring a lot of points, having a lot of fun doing it. They're wrestling free right now, and it's still incredibly early, and we're not new to this. We all know, the guys in our program know, we haven't touch that Big Ten conference yet. We will, but right now, these matches really, really matter. They really matter for what, you know, lays ahead down the line, and they're competing with each other right now, so that's a good thing.
One of those veteran guys, Sebastian Rivera, mm-hmm. Obviously he did it. He did what he needed to do on Saturday night. How do you keep a guy like Sebastian motivated? You know, he thrives in that environment, thrives. He's in Jersey in the Prudential Center.
Yeah.
Big crowd, and he goes out and he gets a North Carolina forfeit. How do you keep him motivated?
It's hard. You know, that's a hard thing. I mean, he's motivated because he's got these big goals, but, you know, part of Sebastian's aura is that fan base and that crowd, and that's why he came home. And listen, there's a lot of people there. There's a lot of people there who want to see him wrestle. So I knew they were going to forfeit to him, like, at the very, very beginning of the match. So I knew, like, he was going to be upset about it. But what are you going to do? You know, again, a lot of people come to see him wrestle. They saw him the first round. He didn't wrestle the second round. That's part of the sport. I understand their guys. A couple of their guys were banged up. Again, that's part of it. So I fault nobody. It is what it is. Sebastian's got to understand if – he may get a couple of those throughout the course of the year. He's built that upon himself. He's that good. And when it's time to go, he needs to go. So he's motivated. He's got a lot of things coming up. He's got the Puerto Rican national team December 18th, where he's going to try to make that national team again. So he's training for that. So there's a lot of things out in front of him that keep him motivated. But I know he's here to wrestle in front of fans. And that was a little upsetting. But, again, it's part of it. So I fault no one. I just wish he was able to get a second match.
Yeah, and he'll have plenty of opportunities throughout the season, but he's a guy that shows up and wants to wrestle each time, no matter who it is, for sure. Another veteran guy that stood out was Greg Bolzak, two ranked wins and two, once again, establishing himself as kind of a veteran lunch pail guy.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is, man. And there's two pretty good guys he beat this weekend, you know, two nationally ranked guys. And again, our program now, you could see it. You could see our bench. They feed off of those big time matchups. They knew Greg had two nationally ranked guys, and the guy from Hofstra he beat, that's a huge win. That guy, the very next round, goes and beats a world champion. So huge win for Bolzak. there's a lot more room for improvement. There's more of a ceiling there. He's going to continue to get better. But like you said, just, I think he kind of sums up our team. When I say pro, act like a pro and live your life like a pro, that's kind of what Bolsack, you know, if we could all live it like that and train like that, and we'll be in a good spot. So he's been a really, really good addition for us, and very, very quiet guy, extremely humble, just loves to put his foot on the line and wrestle. And I'm glad to see this early success for him. He's got some big ones coming up. So we're certainly going to see where he's at, but he'll be up for the challenge for sure.
There were a few matches that got your bench fired up. One in particular, Dylan Shauver's overtime victory. He's 7-0. He's embraced the role at 125. What about him has made him successful thus far this season?
I think he's someone who just loves the sport of wrestling. You know, he's the one guy. Well, there's a bunch of guys, but you know, there's few that are going to reach out and send me a text and, hey, are you watching Iowa Army? Are you watching, you know, Iowa State Army? You know, he's always looking ahead. He's looking at future opponents. He's really, really into the sport. He's fired up about the venue. He wanted to go to Prudential Center. He knew both guys. One of the guys he beat was an Ohio guy from Hofstra. So there's a little bit of a rivalry there. And then, you know, there's a world team member he beat from North Carolina. So that's a big win for Dylan. Didn't wrestle great. I don't think he wrestled great. We got to maybe adjust how he does his weight. I just think he holds his weight too low for too long. But, you know, that could be a product of being away from home over the holidays. And, you know, what do you do when you're by yourself up at school on a Thursday? So maybe we need to do a better job there. But he's a little firecracker. He loves to compete, loves the sport of wrestling, really studies it. So glad to see the early success again. Got some big ones coming up. So I'm excited to see, you know, where he's at against the top guys in the country for sure.
Yeah, another guy that stood out, Sammy Alvarez. Saw him in the hallway on Saturday night after two duels, and he looked at me and says, "I'm back. I'm locked in." And it seems like he's locked in. He's having fun out there. He's letting it fly.
He's locked in, man. He's goes about a little bit differently, but if the Rutgers Nation ever had a problem or worries about his weight, don't. He's underweight. He's probably too far underweight day before the match. So he's just totally focused on what he's doing right now. He really, really wanted that North Carolina match. And for me, that's what kind of bums me out. You know, that's what, as a coach, it kind of hurts because you look forward to those individual matchups. Sure, winning duels is nice, but those individual matchups are really what you're looking forward to. So Sammy was really, really geared up for Hernandez because that's somebody who's ranked ahead of him. And wasn't able to get that matchup. So did the next best thing. You know, they put out Heilman, who's a Jersey guy, a local guy, and he took care of business, very workmanlike. And he is locked in. He doesn't lie when he says that. He's done such a better job of training and preparing and just getting into it. So I'm excited for Sammy. I think he's one of the best guys in the country.
And one other guy that I'd like to hit on that had some success on Saturday. Connor O'Neill. Obviously, look, Jackson Turley's the guy 174, but he's only wrestled mm-hmm. once this far. And, you know, O'Neill is the guy that's there to wrestle. So, and he showed up and he got a big pin against Hofstra. What's it like to know that you have a guy like O'Neill kind of attesting to the fact of that depth that you have?
Well, I look at that both ways, right? Like, Connor is certainly capable. Connor's going to get a lot better. We got to get him better in the neutral position. But I like the way he went out against Hofstra, got on top. He's really good on top and scored a fall. And then, you know, the hindsight of that is I want him to be more competitive in that North Carolina match and not just keep it close. You know, he's good enough and has the accolades enough and trains hard enough where he needs to keep that match closer and needs to give himself a chance to win. So that's learning, right? This is a young freshman who's in this lineup and, yeah, he's behind Turley and to clear things up with Turley. It'll be a little bit of time. He's just coming back from an injury. We probably started him a little bit too quick, but the fire is still there for Jackson Turley. There's tremendous goals for Jackson Turley. Our staff's doing a really good job with training Jackson Turley to get him back. So we're going to try to get him back as soon as possible. Right now, Connor's our guy and that's good. I like to see the young guys give an opportunity, take full advantage of it. And the one thing I like about Connor is he's hard on himself. He's super competitive. He knows he didn't wrestle great. You got to be able to get off the bottom at this level. So right away, we're back in the room and we're working on getting off the bottom because that right now that's his Achilles heel. He's got to be better from that position, and he knows that. So he's going to get better, but right now he's doing a good job filling in for Jackson.
Yeah, and a little insight here. Whenever I tweet something out about Connor O'Neill winning, the first person to retweet is Jackson Turley. So that kind of speaks to just how invested he is in the team aspect of it.
Yeah, we got something good going right now, man. It's we've really stressed this team thing for the last 3 months. It's been about the team, and everybody has a role on this team, whether you're weighing in. Somebody like Nico Messina weighs in and doesn't get a chance to wrestle. Somebody like Mike Chetta comes back, had a unfortunate death in the family, gets back Friday and makes weight to wrestle 141, even though he's not going to wrestle, right? We have Seb. So it's about the team right now, and it's something that's really, really special right now. Now, can we maintain that and keep that going? Because, listen, we know there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, how we handle the adversity. But right now, we have something good going, and good for Jackson. He's a pretty good, in his own little way, he's a really good leader. And he's a little bit more vocal than most, so I'm glad he's doing that. And like I said, we have something good going right now.
As we wrap things up, recapping North Carolina and Hofstra, I'd be remiss if we didn't speak about Rob Kennard. A lot of people were impressed with the way he wrestled against Austin O'Connor, obviously reigning national champ. Got the first takedown in the match and reversed him as well. So what were your thoughts on Rob?
Well, my thoughts initially go back to his week of preparation, right? There was no week. He was, and this is absolutely no excuse, but Rob wasn't with us until Friday. He was very sick, flu-like, no COVID, which was good. He was negative. When he was able to get back Thanksgiving morning, he worked out. And then worked out Friday. That's why we sat him match number one. But, you know, in a day and age when these guys, a lot of guys in college wrestling do not want to put it on the line, this was huge for our program, right? Because he's not at 100%, but he wanted this match. This was something that was circled on his calendar just for the fact it was Austin O'Connor. It was the defending national champ. It was a great opportunity. So Robbie really wanted this match, and that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen across the country. That doesn't happen sometimes in our own room. Guys don't always want to wrestle. You can read between the lines there, Brad. Guys don't always want to compete. They're worried, what happens if I lose? So here we are now. You know, this kid gets back with us Friday, does his job, making weight, and just really wanted that matchup. So was super proud of Al DeSantis filling in the Hofstra match. I thought he wrestled great, which helps us with depth. And then, you know, Robbie went out there and fought, got the first takedown. More importantly, finish the match the right way. And it doesn't matter in the dual meet scoring, right? We weren't going to lose the duel, but he saves a point, right? He doesn't get majored. He gets a huge takedown late to make it just a decision. Good for Robbie. That's just fight. That's 7 minutes of fight. Didn't feel great. Felt terrible afterwards. But he wanted that match. So that goes a long way, not just for Robbie or this coaching staff, but for this whole program. And hopefully all of our fans see that. So it was good.
Your program's 8-0 right now. You got a duel this weekend coming up, and you also have Army before Midlands. Mm-hmm. So an opportunity to go 10-0 before Midlands. What's the mentality from a coaching standpoint of wrestling so many duels early on? As you look up and down the Big Ten schedule, there's some teams that have only wrestled one duel, no duels at all. They're more in favor of open tournaments. So what's your philosophy with scheduling so many duel matches?
My philosophy is very, very simple. You control it when it's a dual meet. You don't have to wrestle three times in a day. You go to those open tournaments, like, for example, Anthony White's been to three open tournaments. He's got 16 matches already. So that, and they're wrestling at 9 o'clock at night. Not ideal for guys. Now, he's redshirting, so he's got to take advantage of those opportunities. For me, those first 2 weeks of quads were about getting everybody matches, seeing where this lineup's at, giving young guys an opportunity to compete and wrestle. Some guys have never put the block R on their chest, so they get an opportunity. So everybody's invested now. Everybody knows what to expect when they're on the road, how to travel, how to be a professional. That was our message today. Continue to be a professional, right? Everything matters right now. Final exams matter. Your last test before finals matter. Being on time for class matter. Your nutrition matters. We're not looking past American, right? We know they're struggling right now as far as their year goes. We're not looking past that. It's an opportunity from an individual standpoint to compete, whoever's going to compete, right? Some other guys may get an opportunity this week. Everybody is available. Everybody's ready to go. And that's the reason for so many duels instead of the tournaments. Obviously, that slows down second semester. We get into our Big Ten schedule. But for now, I think it gave a lot of guys opportunity. and it's kept everybody training at a high level, because you never know. On a board, we post our weights for this weekend coming up, and it says very simply, everybody is on the board, be ready to go. So right now, you don't know who's wrestling. So we're going to get a great week of practice, make our decision probably Wednesday on the 10 guys that are going to compete. We'll travel with some extras. Hopefully there's some extra matches. But that's my philosophy and the reason why we went with a couple quads early instead of open tournaments.
Why don't you walk us a little bit through the scheduling process? The duels recently with them have been close. Is there a pre-existing relationship with the coaching staff at American? How does that work? Where do you get schools that are out of conference like American on the schedule?
Yeah, honestly, I do have a relationship with Coach Borelli. He was actually out at Stanford, and we talked about going out to Stanford this year, but obviously they dropped their program, got it reinstated, but I've always stayed in touch with him, and he just got the job. Once Stanford was going to drop, he took the American job. So that's kind of how that worked out. I really wanted to wrestle Lehigh, and we were supposed to wrestle NC State this weekend. And those both fell through. Lehigh always wrestles Penn State on this weekend, so obviously that didn't work out. And NC State, for whatever reason, they wanted to take it off campus and go to Snooki, Pennsylvania, whatever it was. But just didn't work out. The date didn't work for them. So I wanted to get another duel instead of having a week off competition. I wanted to keep our guys wrestling, and I just reached out to Jason knowing he probably didn't have a schedule yet. So that's the reason for it. Kind of a last second thing, but I do have a relationship with him, and as long as he wants to keep doing it, I like going to DC. You know, it's nice. We'll see the Capitol and all the monument. We'll see all that good stuff on the way down there. A little bit of education for our guys. Could always use a little education, right, Brad?
For sure.
It's not a bad
Absolutely.
Thing. So, you know, that's part of the reason. And again, another date on the calendar, another date to get better, and had to fill it with someone. And thank God I have a relationship with him, because he was able to accommodate us.
And you mentioned American. What are some of the challenges that American presents, and what are you guys looking forward to off of Friday?
Yeah, well, here's the deal, right? It's a new group, right? Coach Borelli just got there, so it's definitely a new group. But there's some kids in there that are certainly capable. There's some Jersey guys in there in that lineup that down the road, they're going to be very good. He's an awesome coach. He did an incredible job with Stanford. He's going to do an incredible job at American. But our job right now is, and I know this is repetitive, but just continue to be a professional, continue to train the right way, prepare the right way, be excited, get better at wrestling through the course of the week, and then get ready to compete. And what this does, you know, week after week after week, keeps your weight down, keeps you ready to go. Now, that being said, we'll be smart too. We'll give some guys breaks. You probably won't see Sammy Alvarez this weekend. Maybe we'll make a decision on what we're going to do at heavyweight. Obviously you won't see Turley this week, but give some guys an opportunity and you know that, but continue to be professional, continue to prepare, and it's another opponent, right? It's another opponent, and they're excited to have us down. We're excited to go down there, and here it is, one duel, right? It's just one match, and we're back on the bus coming home. So another chance to compete. So that's got us excited.
For sure. And obviously we in sports hate looking too far ahead. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important that we talk about 2 weeks from now, Army yep. at Jersey Mike's Arena. Mm-hmm. How important is it to fill that arena for the return, the true return to Jersey Mike's Arena? We obviously had the quad, but this is a true duel against a great program in Army. How important is it to get as many fans in there as possible?
It's huge for us. We talk about it all the time, and I knew that first quad wasn't going to it was still a great crowd, but wasn't going to give a true sense of what Jersey Mike's Arena is all about. So we actually talked about it today as a team. We went over it and understand we're going to put 8,000 people in that place. You know, hell or high water, we're going to get people in that building. So that's our job as a staff, as a wrestling community, to do that. Let the wrestlers take care of what the wrestlers need to take care of. But it's really, really important to me. And, you know, the guys from Army, the cadets from Army, they deserve that. I want them to wrestle in an incredible atmosphere. And, you know, it'll be one of the better duels that weekend. So we look forward to it, man. It's a great opportunity and just obviously a great institution. Army at West Point, Coach Ward's done an incredible job. So there's some really, really important matchups there, some big-time matchups. So we look forward to that 2 weeks down the line. But we will not look ahead. We won't look ahead past Army. We won't start preparing. I'm sorry, American. We won't start to prepare for Army until next week, but There's no question about it. It's circled on the calendar.
Well, the focus right now is on American December 3rd, this Friday at 7:30 down in D.C. Fans who are not making the trek down to D.C., they can check Rutgers out on ESPN+. Goody, as always, appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to speak with me and speak with our fans.
You're the man, Brian. Thank you very much, buddy.